Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Water Mission, a nonprofit Christian engineering ministry that fights the global water crisis with safe water and sanitation in developing countries and disaster areas. Think about what I just said. Safe water and sanitation. We take that for granted, don't we? I mean, every single day, we're not even thinking about water. We're not even thinking about sanitation. It's just what we have been blessed with here in the U.S. But there are people all across the world. I'm talking about 5 million people in 56 countries that Water Mission has served that don't have that, that need that. And that's what makes Water Mission so wonderful. And they're a Christian organization, so you know that everything that they do is centered around bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ as well to these people. So you can get involved with Water Mission. We're going to talk a little bit more about Water Mission with Drew Stanton, who's our guest today on the show. But you can check out watermission.org right now to donate and to give and to just pray for those people that don't have the safe water, the sanitation that really every single person deserves. Watermission.org is the website. Go check it out. Watermission.org.
This is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
And welcome everyone to the show. I am Jason Romano. So glad you're tuning into the podcast today. Make sure you check out our website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content. Lots of free resources and content right there. Devotionals, podcasts, articles, all available at sportsspectrum.com. We got Drew Stanton on the show today. Drew is a former NFL quarterback selected in the second round back in 2007 by the Lions. He spent 5 seasons in Detroit, 5 seasons with Arizona, backing up Carson Palmer, 2 with the Browns, backing up Baker Mayfield. He was with the Colts for a season. And last year, he gets a call on Christmas Eve, and he gets an opportunity to be in that quarterback room, that locker room, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. So Drew now is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback in a very unique way that he got to win that Super Bowl. And we're going to start this conversation off with that Super Bowl victory and that opportunity to come back last year and help out the Buccaneers behind Tom Brady and everybody there and his former coach, Bruce Arians. And then this year, is he thinking about coming back again? If the phone rang, would he entertain that idea? I mean, never say never, right? So Drew Stanton's going to talk about that. And then Drew's going to join us as well on behalf of Water Mission and talk about his involvement with that amazing ministry, Water Mission. Here's Drew Stanton joining us today on Sports Spectrum. Drew Stanton, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to have you here on the show again. So a year ago, we had you back. We had you on Sports Spectrum, and we talked about sports and faith and your career and your journey with Christ and your journey into the NFL. And never once did we really fathom the idea that you might end up on a team that was playing in the Super Bowl and then actually be on the sidelines for that team, watching them win a Super Bowl. But that happened for you last year. So I kind of need to go back a little bit and just kind of talk about what happened. It was right before Christmas, right? And you get this call.
Yeah. I think the last time we did this, you announced me as a former NFL quarterback. So I don't think lightning's going to strike twice, but it was such a good opportunity. Having the relationship that I had with Bruce Arians, he called me Christmas Eve morning and he said, "Hey, we lost Josh Rosen to the practice squad. We have an availability for a quarterback and I'd love to have you come down here." And I was like, "BA, I haven't touched a football. I haven't thought about, putting a helmet on or cleats." And it's Christmas Eve morning. And he never calls me. He'll send me a text. So we'll go back and forth a little bit of that. But I had a missed call. And so when that was what transpired after I called him back, and I said, "Well, let me talk to my wife and kids." And, from there, I went and talked to Kristen. She was like, "If you want to do it, by all means, go for it. It'll be so much fun." So, the excitement kind of subsided, we sat there and talked about, okay, best case scenario, you go 6 weeks and you go down and win a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Worst case scenario is you're down there for 2 weeks and you're back home. So, I think for me, there was so much familiarity. Clyde Christensen, who I absolutely adore, has been a great mentor to me. and a great man of faith in this business for a long period of time. We crossed paths in Indianapolis with Bruce Arians. So getting to go down and be around him, Byron Leftwich, knowing some guys on the team, knowing Harold Goodwin, the offensive coordinator. So there were so many things that just pointed that it was like an opportunity presented to me on a silver platter from God that I couldn't pass up. And, you know, with some of the stuff that I dealt with towards the latter portion of my time in Cleveland, really knew it was time to step away because of family and having our fourth kid and all these things, and timing wasn't right to continue on. I didn't want to be selfish. I wanted to be aware of taking care of the priorities and making the most important things in my life the most important things. And football continued to kind of go down that ladder. But then, boom, this opportunity presented itself to go there, and I was able to do it, and was able to be down there the full 6 weeks and have a Super Bowl ring to add to my resume, and it looks great sitting up in the mantle over there.
I was going to say, you actually got a ring, right? Like when they did the ring ceremony, you were there, and you got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, no, it was so neat to see it. Like I said, to be along for the ride, to see a team and a group of men that had come together over this common bond of trying to go out and win a football game. And that's what BA does such a good job with, is kind of letting the locker room police itself, being around a group of men that, you know, each position takes care of themselves, but also everybody's pulling in the same direction. There was no egos down there. There's a lot of different personalities. There's so much talent on that team. And you look at all of these things with, you know, with Tom Brady at the helm, and everybody bought in to what was going on and what they were able to accomplish. And they went on the road every single week, and being able to be a part of it and kind of be a fly on the wall in the quarterback room, in the offensive meeting room, in the team room, all of those things. It was such a cherry on top of a career for me.
What did you see in a guy like Tom Brady, who's 7 years older than you? I think I was doing my math here. And just watching him go through what he went through last year and being able to win another Super Bowl, even this year, and watching him thus far, and he's not slowing down. I mean, he's 44 years old and he's top two quarterback, three quarterback in the NFL still. You were there watching him on this wonderful ride in Tampa last year. What is it about him from up close, right? Because you can say from afar, but to really be there watching him prepare each week, especially for a playoff game, had to be pretty incredible to see, I have to imagine.
It was, you know, I think a couple key words come to mind. He's so meticulous in his preparation, and he's so calculated on how he goes about everything. I mean, he's very regimented in his workout habits, and you see all these things, the way he takes care of his body, but also just the way that he leads, right? I think the most important thing of leadership is followership. If nobody's following you, you're not a leader. And I think with him, he has everybody following him in that locker room, in that organization, in that city, you know, and he's done it. He's proven that. And I think when we got into Super Bowl week, everything was mapped out. There was such a clear cut way to doing everything. And when you are very comfortable in your own skin, when you've been there, you've done that, you can then go out and facilitate, and you can facilitate in so many ways. But as a quarterback, when you have the skill set that he has to be able to have a comfort level with the multitude of talent at each position, I mean, they're really too deep in Tampa Bay. Those guys are starters on other teams. So you look at that, he's aware of those things, but no stone is left unturned with him. I mean, the number of times that we would go through a call sheet, we get a new call sheet on Wednesday, we'd go through everything, rip it up, tear it up. Okay, talk about coverages, talk about pressures. Do we have an answer here? What is this? I mean, all of these things. And so he really leaned on a lot of other people, which I think is a great leadership quality to have as well, right? Like, you don't have to have all the answers. You just want to be as prepared as you can and have those answers on Sunday. And he could compartmentalize, and Wednesday practice might not have been great, but you go in and you clean it up, you fix it up. And those are all the things that I think were just reaffirmed that I thought and I'd heard about him. But being around a lot of great guys, I think that you rely on the people around you to make you as good as possible. And, you know, if the greatest quarterback of all time is doing that, then there's something to be said for it.
What did that mean for you to be able to dress and find out the week before the Super Bowl that you're actually going to be on the field? I mean, you were the third string, right? So it was Brady, and then if something happened to him, God forbid, then it was Gabbert.
No,
right?
even fourth.
Oh, so you got to be on the sidelines though. So take me through that whole thing.
Yeah. That was interesting how it transpired. Again, with BA and just the relationship that I had, I said, hey, I feel like I can be helpful. I know this offense. I know what's going on, and just want to be able to do that as good as many minds on the field as possible. Because though physically, like I had been out of the game, mentally watching it, knowing this offense for 6 years that I had been around it, and it changed a little bit, as it should, because you have to evolve with what you're seeing and the coverages. But a lot of the coverages that I was seeing, I had already known about, or pressures, or all of these things. So I was just trying to be an advocate for Tom, for Blaine, and for Ryan Griffin, the other quarterback there, because it was this, and selfishly, it was an opportunity to be on the field for the Super Bowl, right? I wanted to see that, and I knew that I was already on borrowed time. I wasn't there, and I figured I might as well take a shot and ask BA what I need to do to try and get down on the field to be a part of it, even though it wasn't a practice squad. It wasn't like I was completely invested in this team, but I felt like I could have been a value or an asset, especially, the relationship that I have with Blaine Gabbert, the backup quarterback. If he had to have gone in, I feel very confident that I could have been, able to help him. So if I was sitting there and my demeanor, and the relationship we have, you want as many people around you, like I said, throughout the course of the week and the preparation, that believe in the same thing, and everybody's pulling in the same direction. And Blaine and I already have that commonality from when we were together here in Arizona. So that's kind of how it transpired. And then BA was able to kind of pull the trigger and said, hey, we're only calling one guy up for sure. The other guy that we're going to call up is you. And I was blown away. I mean, I had chills, and still to think about that, and to be able to be down there and see the confetti and to see all of these men that have worked so hard for it, it was really, really special.
When's the last time you picked up a football?
What was the Super Bowl? The Friday before the Super Bowl, I lost the competition. I didn't come in last place, but I lost the competition. And that was the beauty of it, right? You go out and you compete, and it felt so good to be in a locker room setting. I mean, everybody talks about that's what you miss, but being around a group of men, like I said, that's irreplaceable from the standpoint of, you can try to replicate it through a lot of different ways, but the competitive nature, the common denominator of all those things, especially going through each and every week of the playoffs in a COVID year where you're flying two different planes and you're doing all these things and taking all these precautions, to see the team that can prepare like that and be that bonded together and trying to achieve that goal, it was really, really unique.
I'm just imagining two of your former teams, right? So you got the Buccaneers and the Cardinals. The Cardinals have the best record in football. The Buccaneers are right behind them, and they go in to meet each other in the NFC Championship game, and all of a sudden you get a call again. It's like, hey, could you come down here? Are you saying I can't this time, guys? Or are you leaving every door open at this point based upon what happened last year?
I mean, I had the door all but closed shut, and then God found a way to open it up. So I never say never. And I think, again, I survived in this league for so long because of the people, and the people are what make me and made me so happy and fortunate to be in this league, that if a friend called me and said, hey, we need you coming down here, I mean, I would listen, but it's going to be a lot harder to draw now. I said, well, can you guarantee I'm going to win a Super Bowl? Because my wife will be a lot happier about that, and my 9-year-old son will be a lot more receptive if I say I've got to leave again.
That's great. Drew Stanton's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. He's joining us on behalf of Water Mission, a nonprofit Christian engineering ministry that fights the global water crisis. They got safe water and sanitation in developing countries and disaster areas. They do incredible work. The organization has served more than 5 million people in 56 countries. Drew, what is it about Water Mission that made you want to be involved with them?
Well, through PAO and getting involved, you try to find different ways to give your money and tithe, and you're looking for organizations that align in the values that you believe in, right? And there's so many great organizations out there, great Christian organizations and great things. And we're called to tithe. That's part of what we're called to do. And when you're fortunate enough to be in the NFL, you've got a decent amount of money to tithe. So you want to make sure you're stewarding it correctly. And so it was 3 years ago at PAO, through Mallory Brown, I was able to get involved with Water Mission, learn more about them. And again, we donate to different ones like Compassion International, IJM, all of those are great causes. But for whatever reason, you know, I think for us, there was a natural connection to Water Mission and meeting Scott Linebrink and learning more about what they're doing globally. Like you said, there is a global water crisis that here in America, we don't understand. We turn water on the faucet and it comes out clean and we don't question it and we drink it and we do all these things. I mean, I remember being a kid, like you get the spigot of the hose at football practice and you drink out of it. Now, like my son would be like, what are you doing, Dad? But we take these things for granted, right? You press out a water fountain and all of these things where, you know, they have all of this material that's well documented that people walk miles upon miles just to get water and it's not even clean. And the diseases that are passed through water and different things that are so preventable. And again, we have the technology, we have the wherewithal to be able to go to these different countries that are impoverished or all of these other places, these refugee camps. There's so many things. And I don't need to point out the obvious connection between water and religion and Christ and all these things, but the cleansing of that and the ability of what that looks like metaphorically speaking, but also in this one, literally speaking of what that is, it just touched me and touched my heart because I want to get out and I want to serve. One of the things that I've looked most forward to in retirement is going on mission trips. And this was one when I talked to Scott, I said, hey, we go around to these refugee camps or we go and we find places to set up healthy water systems. Like you said, I'm not smart enough to set these systems up, but I can follow orders. I can be able to do all these things. And so through that, we started donating money and we started backing them financially. And then now, and not just financially, like I said, I want to get involved. And we've done some of these water walks that they have where, because, you know, some people around the around different countries have to walk with water on their head to see what that's like and to put ourselves in people's shoes that don't have the simple luxuries that we take for granted each and every day.
Yeah. And hopefully with the pandemic starting, it feels like starting to wind down. I always caution myself when I say that, but you kind of feel like now we're entering into year three with this thing in 2022. Mission trips will start to open up again. Opportunities to go and serve these countries overseas will really start to be open up again, where people like yourself can go and see and be on the groundswell of what's really going on and helping these people. Why is it so important for you to serve with ministries like Water Mission? Why is that so vital for you to serve and give back, not just with all of the other great organizations like you said in Water Mission too, but just the idea of serving? Because I want people to hear this when they're listening and they might think, okay, it's another, you know, kind of commercial for Water Mission, but that's not what I really want to get into here. And I love Water Mission. We want people to donate, but the idea of something tugging on your heart and you answering that tug and saying, I got to get involved, I got to serve.
Well, I think for me, right, is I'm trying to model to my kids. I've got four kids now and I want to have a servant's heart. And I think that, you know, you go where you're most needed. And there's also, again, most of us here in America are just unaware of this. So you've got to leave the country to be able to see what it's actually like. And, you know, much like anything else, we go there thinking that we're going to help them. But in return, we actually find how much they helped us out to realize the things that we're fortunate for, but also spreading the gospel, getting a chance to use water as a way to introduce Jesus Christ into people's life and just say, hey, look, like you've never heard this name before, or you haven't known this, but there is a God that loves you. There is a God that wants to take care of you. And let me tell you about that. And I think that's what is intriguing to me because, you know, we have our bubbles that we live here in America and we've been forced into a bubble a lot of different ways. And now as we get a chance to go out and serve, I want to take my kids on mission trips. I want to show them all across the world how God is having an effect on it and do it in a way that whatever you feel like is affecting you, that you can get out there and do that. And again, money is fantastic. Money solves a lot of issues as far as donating to these great causes. But I want to get in there and I want to get my hands dirty with these people. So through that, you know, I wanted to get involved from the standpoint of, yeah, it's great to send a check every month. And I've got a reminder on my phone to do that. And it's been fantastic. But I want to get involved and I want my kids to see this kind of sacrifice that we're making, because then you're prioritizing something bigger than yourself. And that's really what I want to be able to model to my children. And the easiest way to do that is by going out and taking action.
So make the little pitch, if you will, for those listening, encourage them, and why getting involved with Water Mission is a good idea. I mean, you've done already such a good job on explaining what Water Mission is and why you're involved with them. Make a little pitch here to those listening and just, you know, we're maybe thinking at the end of the year, how can I get involved? What's a cause to be involved with? Where can I, you know, donate my money where I know it's actually helping people, tangibly helping people? Make a pitch for Water Mission if you could.
Yeah, well, I think with Water Mission, again, it was a vetted organization that you knew the money was going to the right places and you were seeing the money put to good use. I mean, the videos that they had and the funding that they get, it is directly being put forward to the people that do it. And you hear these stories again. Scott Linebrink has endless amounts of stories of how God is just intertwined within all of this and the fabric of what they're trying to do in the organization, because there's times, you know, where there's either hurricane relief and they're trying to get water into countries or all of these things. And you see just this door gets opened up and you see how God's able to provide in a lot of different ways that is there. It's only explained by a miracle performed by God, because everybody else would sit there and say, we can't do it. And that is when Water Mission steps in and says, no, we can and we will. And the beauty of what they've done with all of these different countries that have been able to impact and the people they've been able to do, it segues into them spreading the gospel, which is what we're called to do.
So as we wind down, again, people can go check it out at watermission.org to learn more. And I think Drew did a great job of explaining the importance of getting involved with a mission like Water Mission, a ministry like Water Mission, and also the work that they do and how it's actually going. Your money and your prayers and your support is actually going to directly help people who don't have clean water or regular sanitation like any of us have and taking that for granted. So you can help there. Drew, as we wind down, what's I like to ask this question a lot, and it really could go in a million different directions with the answers we get. So what are you learning from God? How has he been moving in your life? And working in your life, what's he teaching you today when you think about where you are today and the Lord kind of moving upon your life? What are you thinking about?
I think to slow down, right? Like as the world gets reopened up and we just get back to this pace that is unattainable, and especially with kids, right? The Sabbath rest that we're coming out of because everybody's itching to get back out there and be able to go and do these things that we did. What are we going to learn from the last 2 years? What's transpired? And I think from us and our standpoint of how we want to intentionally raise our kids is we want to keep these Sabbaths still alive, right? These dinners that we have on Friday nights where we light candles and I lay hands on my kids and speak the blessing over them. All of those things that they look forward to, because as they get older, that time that we have with them is fleeting. And I think from my standpoint, my mind is just wired to be always thinking the future. I'm so task oriented that it's like boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, this is what we have to do tomorrow. So this is what I got today, and right on, so on and so forth. And so through that, I really try to just be more present with my kids. I try to put my cell phone down. I've tried to be more aware of what's going on around me, because I want to have my kids look around and, you know, let them know that they're loved unconditionally through all of that. And that's only displayed by going out and making a conscientious effort each and every day to invest in them.
Drew, this has been one wacky NFL season, hasn't it? When you think about your former team being on top, and I'm just kind of bringing it full circle here with talking about football, but just real quick, your impressions on this year. It's been an interesting football season, even just thinking about right now where we are. There hasn't been Arizona has the dominant record, but there really hasn't been a dominant team. I feel like a lot of teams that right now we could look at and say, okay, maybe that team, maybe that team, maybe that team.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of hype in Arizona right now. I mean, you look at the record and it's warranted, but at the same time, much why I wanted to jump on ship last year with the Buccaneers is because they were playing the best football in Tampa to anybody. And I was like, they've got a real possibility of winning a Super Bowl. And it comes down to quarterback play. I'm biased in saying that, but the team that's playing the best, the quarterback that's playing the best come December, that's the team that I'm going to say is going to win it all. Because yes, defense matter. All of those things matter. But the quarterbacks that can take care of the football, I mean, you look at Colt McCoy and him stepping in into Kyler's place, like did a tremendous job of taking care of the football, took shots when they were there. And there is no replacement for experience. And that comes probably in any profession. And when you're comfortable and you're confident, you can go out there and you can play well. And that confidence that you have in December, that carries over into January and February and can take you a really long way. So there has been so many ups and downs. I mean, with sports gambling and all of that stuff that's out there now, and all these spreads that we're seeing. I mean, you look at what transpires each and every week, and there's so many great teams out there and great players that we think one week, oh, they're going to go win the NFC, and then the next week they get beat by a team you wouldn't ever think about. So there's so much parity in this league, and that's what makes it so much fun to watch. But come December, you've ironed out a lot of those details. You kind of know who you have, and you've battled through the attrition of injuries and overcome adversity. And the teams that can weather those storms, those are the teams that you typically find doing the best. But right now, it is all jockeying for position.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch a team like the Rams, the Cowboys, even the Saints, teams that were expected to win yesterday, as I record this on Sunday, and lost. How are those teams going to deal with adversity? Are they going to turn around and kind of use that to their advantage? So, Drew Stanton, thanks for being here on the show, my friend. Really appreciate you. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for the work you're doing with Water Mission, and we'll get you back on again soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me on.
And many thanks to Drew Stanton for being here today on Sports Spectrum. Again, watermission.org is the website. You heard Drew talking about his involvement with this amazing nonprofit Christian engineering ministry. They are fighting the global water crisis, and it's a global crisis around the world for the basic necessities that you and I take for granted every day: safe water and sanitation. Water Mission serves more than 5 million people in 56 countries. You can join the fight with Water Mission to help bring safe water and sanitation to someone else. Check out watermission.org. That's the website. You can learn more there, and you can also donate there. Make sure you pray about it, and then get involved if you can. Do what Drew is doing and donate, but maybe there's a way to be the hands and feet, go on a trip, something like that. Check out watermission.org to learn more and to support the great work with Water Mission. And we thank Drew Stanton for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We could have talked longer, and next time we get him back on, we'll share some more stories. He's a great guy, and he has tons of stories. When you played in the league for 14 years, you got a lot of stories, and you know a lot of people, and Drew does have a lot of stories, even off the air as we were talking. We're talking about some of the teams in the NFL right now, and just the craziness, the wackiness of this season as we're thinking about 2021 and kind of where it stands at this moment. This weekend, games, we're entering, what, week 9, week 10? And we still got a long ways to go because we have 17 games in the NFL this year now, as opposed to the normal 16. And the Super Bowl isn't until February 13th. It's late this year. It's halfway through February. So it'll be interesting to see how the NFL season plays out. But we do appreciate Mr. Stanton, Drew Stanton, for being here today on Sports Spectrum. And we appreciate you as well. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next time for another episode here on Sports Spectrum. And again, check out watermission.org to learn more about the great work they are doing as well. See you next time right here on the show.